C.
Format C.
I'm Vedran Ligo. I am the production coordinator in Format C art organization in Zagreb, Croatia. Alongside Dina Karadžić, I coordinate physical and digital production of all of Format C's programs. That involves programming in several programming languages and collaborating with designers in order to develop systems for online presentation, and coordinating physical events and everything that comes along with that. The basic idea behind all of our projects, and not just the internet stuff but also the real world stuff, is this open source inclusivity and like the sharing of knowledge and of tools. Format C does a lot of projects, and these projects belong in three groups. These are discursive and educational programs, exhibitional and presentational programs, and distribution and archival programs. For our exhibitional and presentational program, we develop 3D spaces as part of our VR incubator program, and also as part of FUBAR, but hopefully we will broaden these 3D spaces into even more programs and make even more 3D spaces. So right now we made a 3D version of Medica, which used to be the place where our FUBAR Glitch Art Festival was hosted yearly, but it was hit by the earthquake and now we will probably not do it there anymore. But in order to still keep it there, we made this whole giant space in 3D by using Unity, which is a freely downloadable software and game development platform. You can pretty much download it and start building your own 2D or 3D game. But what we're doing is obviously not a game, but it has the same mechanics. And also it's available through a website, and that's why we chose Unity over other similar tools such as Unreal Engine, because Unity has this built-in system which allows us to output our final piece into the internet space or into the web space, and it can be ran in a browser, so users don't need to download any huge .exe files and run them, or download apps from the App Store if they're using Android, but they can just go to a website and walk around our 3D space. Also, I mean, what we're trying to do, or what we're doing, is we try not to force any expensive proprietary hardware onto the visitors. So that's why everything is visible for the web browser. Of course, that also has some downsides. The primary downside would be that it's not really VR, right? I mean, so we do call it VR, but VR and 3D are kind of not that far apart. And our stuff as of now is not really VR yet. Maybe this year or the year after that, I will figure out how to do this. But I mean, it's also very hard because like mobile browsers change, and then if you do something for this version, it doesn't necessarily work on that version. Also, Google keeps removing some features. So VR on phones works with the gyroscope on the phone, and now Google dropped support for some older phones, so you basically can't have it. It doesn't work anymore. But that's the reason why most for-profit companies just use executable files and just package everything you need, and you just run it and it works. And you're not dependent on any like Google or somebody else implementing that on your device. But yeah, we try not to have a barrier of expensive hardware in order to present our programs. So you can theoretically access anything that Format C does with a 5-year-old phone. It should theoretically work, I hope. A 6 or 7 year phone, I wouldn't bet on it, but 5 years should still be okay.
Mm-hmm.
One of our projects that's both archival and distributional is the Observatory of Artistic Work, or in Croatian, OUR, or Observatory Umjetničkog Rada. So this is a project in which during the past year we've had volunteers who worked on gathering information about Croatian art and art institutions, and also the it had an open call, and artists also input their own data into our system. And right now I am designing a database and building a system which will make this database searchable. It will be hopefully simple PHP and MySQL system, and the open call will remain open. So right now we have around a couple of hundred entries, so I need to think about how to link them together, and how to present this data to the users, or not to the users, but to the general public, because it will be online and it will be searchable. It would be ideal if one day we could have profiles of every artist, who would then have all their exhibitions linked with all the galleries or the art spaces, and these spaces would also have their profiles, and you can link all these things together. The current stage of the OUR project, which is not a new project, was started by Tihana Puc a couple of years ago, and she already did some basic visualization with some sample data from Rijeka. And it's currently like a custom Gephi network visualization, but we plan to move away from that presentational form and to make it a normal searchable database that you would expect. Like, you can input text and search for it, or you can choose some categories and then get some data out of it. Visualization will probably be planned somewhere down the line, once we get this huge body of data, because now we have like most of Croatia and some stuff. We used to have only Rijeka and only one artist organization. Database design is something that very skilled people do, so it's very skilled labor. I'm not a database designer. I know how to think in that way a bit, but I'm not a professional database designer, and now I can see why this is hard, because so this database, it's easy to fill a database with data, but it's much harder to correlate this data and to get it out properly. So like, a person who doesn't necessarily know what they're looking for can still find something in this body of data. A piece of software that we use that connects organization of the data that we amass and its distribution is a wiki software called Bookstack. So a wiki software basically enables users to collaboratively edit texts or articles online. So it's the same principle as Wikipedia would be, but we chose to use this much simpler open sourced software that we installed on our server, and our designer again made it look like the rest of our online material. So MediaWiki, that powers Wikipedia, is also open source, and we could have chosen to go with that, but we chose this much smaller and much simpler tool to do this, because it just didn't make sense to have this huge, you can imagine that the CMS that Wikipedia uses has much, much more options than a small organization would ever need. And also it has some security issues, just like all other popular software that is open source and on the internet. So this is nice, because I can forget about not upgrading it for a month, and probably nothing will happen, where with WordPress or MediaWiki, who knows, you need to update it as soon as possible, because you never know. you also support these smaller projects that need some visibility. So for our discursive and educational programs, we have customized an online conferencing software called Big Blue Button. We basically have our own server which runs Linux, and on this Linux distribution is Big Blue Button, which is actually a set of Ruby and PostgreSQL and a lot of complicated technology, but not even like I, as the person who is managing all this, doesn't need to know everything about this, because it's very well documented and you can just follow along by their instructions and just install it. I mean, you just need to know some basic Linux stuff. What we did with Big Blue Button in the past year is so we adapted it to the Format C design, where Dario Chagall did all the mockups and all the designs, and I used HTML and CSS to make the system look like he wanted it to, or sometimes not but barely like he wanted it to. So yeah, this system, I mean, we are using it to present work by our artists and also to do workshops. And also we are enabling other nonprofits who would benefit from working on these on this type of open systems, so not using Zoom or not using other proprietary software for their conferencing needs, but they can use our system free of charge as long as we don't clash. Or yeah, because there is a limitation to the amount of people it can take, because it's free. And of course, I mean, we have had programs that had like 100 people with no problems, especially because we don't really need to see everybody, right? So if we have 100 users on a workshop, they don't need to have their cameras on, then it works. So it's perfectly manageable. All the software I've mentioned before, and all the software that we're using, is very adjustable. It's very customizable. As I've said, we've customized all the software to look like our website, so that's something you would never get with proprietary software. And when the tech changes, the software will probably change with it. I mean, there has been cases where open source software just gets abandoned, and there aren't any developers. But there's always something that, because all the code is there, there's always like another group of people that picks it up and just keeps working on it. Or some other project arises which is very similar to this project and uses the same code. So there's no, I don't see any danger if in any of this software becoming obsolete anytime soon. The knowledge gap between digital producers and researchers towards the audience, that's actually something that's thematized upon a lot. I mean, because I feel like a lot of work that we do is actually about teaching the audience how to even be able to have the needed skills or the needed knowledge to even look at something, to even understand this, something we're trying to communicate here. But I don't think that's necessarily the job of the artist to do that. I think that maybe the public school system should maybe do a slightly better job, at least in the tech field, at educating people in general how technology and the internet works, and then it would be more comprehensible to them why this artist is thematizing something which maybe means nothing to if you thematize, I don't know, online spying or surveillance or open source, why is this necessary? And if you use all these tools in your art, I mean, it's a very political decision, to use only open source tools or to try and use only open source tools. If people don't understand what they're for, then your art will mean nothing to them, obviously. And how to bridge this gap? I don't know, but we always do this. We won't stop teaching. So we do workshops which are like for this, for some specific skill that you can develop, say for glitch art, and then you can use these skills for like stable media stuff, not necessarily for only glitch art. And people here seem to be very interested in it and like very, very accepting of it. Yeah, but I mean, we'll see. It will probably change in the future for the better. Because I think kids now, like nowadays, will probably have a very much different understanding of what art should be than we, or today's older generation understands.
Format C. Format C. Format C.